Revelation and chapter 8, and let us read again from the beginning of the chapter. Revelation chapter 8 and verse 1. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before the throne, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And so on. May God bless to us the reading of his word. We shall keep particularly before us the phrase which we have in verse 3, where it says, with the prayers of all saints, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints. And again, in verse 4, we have the phrase, with the prayers of the saints. Now, we have looked at this chapter quite recently, and it may surprise you that I'm coming back to visit it again. But I do so with a certain burden for one particular matter, which is highlighted in this chapter. And that is the matter of prayer. We have here a clear indication of the intercession of Jesus Christ in heaven and the relation between that intercession and our prayers. And what we have is, in fact, an extremely encouraging word, a very encouraging scene, very instructive, something which I think that we should make use of in order to motivate us to that most difficult part of our battle, and that is to pray and to pray without ceasing. First of all, there is here the intercession of Jesus Christ. That is his intercession in heaven as ascended. He is there now, exalted, a prince and a saviour, but he is there as he ascended. Not just as he was from all eternity, God the Son, but he is now the enfleshed God. He is there bearing our nature, and made like us, sin accepted, in heaven at the right hand. He is there in our nature in order to represent us, in order to be there for us. And here we have that most important part of the work that he has in heaven. We read that there he ever liveth to make intercession for us. The intercession of Christ. That's the first thing I want to look at as it is brought for us in this very important passage. There is here mention of incense. Now it's strange for us to think in terms of incense. We associate incense with other religions and various perversions of the Christian faith. But it was very, very important in the Old Testament. Lots of things in the Old Testament were in picture form. There were so many illustrations and patterns and shadows of what was to come. And incense represented prayer. And it represents here the intercession, the prayer intercession of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read that another angel came. Read that in verse 3, and there can't be no doubt at all, really, that angel is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Only he could do what this angel is doing. And we read that unto this angel was given much incense. Much incense. So he didn't have this incense just before now or as he was. It was given to him. Now, what are we looking at here? Who would have given this incense to the Lord Jesus Christ? It would have been, of course, God the Father. He gives this to his enfleshed Son. Now ascended and glorified, but still enfleshed. And still, the one whom the Father loves, the one in whom the Father is well pleased. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The words of the Father. But this gift, and it is a gift given to him by the Father, indicates a very special gift to the Lord Jesus Christ. It indicates the very special ministry which was given to him as the God-man, as the enfleshed God, in his position in heaven at the right hand. He is given by the Father this special ministry of intercession. And it was not just a small amount of incense, it is much incense. He was given an abundant supply. And this is all linked, of course, to the love between the Father and the Son, and to the total satisfaction of the Father with all that the Son was in his person and with all that he had done. He was well pleased with it, and one of the indications of that is this abundant supply of incense which is given to him at this point for this great ministry which he was to exercise on behalf of his people. He was there for us. He was there as the God-man. And this is given to him as the God-man, the infleshed God, given this great gift of much incense. Now, secondly, what is the purpose of this incense? It is that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the altar before the throne. That he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the altar before the throne. It was given to him with a very specific purpose. It was given to him by God the Father with believers in mind. It is so clear that this was given to him so that he would offer it with the prayers of all saints. That was its purpose. When it was given to him by the Father, this is what the Father had in mind. He had in mind the welfare and the good of believers, that their prayers would be merged with his intercession. Now this is a wonderful thing. How wonderful that we are given this picture in the Word of God to encourage us in the battle for prayer. And oh, it is a battle, isn't it? And it seems to become a greater battle as time goes on. That the prayers of believers would be merged with this incense that was given to him, and that with this merging, that their prayers would be carried up with his incense right up to the throne of God, to be there before God. This is God's special arrangement for the benefit of believers in this life, for the benefit of those who are still in the battle, who are still in the church militant, who are still warring against sin, who are still struggling against much opposition. There is this wonderful arrangement for their benefit while they are in this life, so that the prayers which they, I hesitate to use the word offer, the prayers which they make, that these prayers would reach to the very presence of God. Sometimes we feel that our prayers are so weak and so useless. Sometimes we might feel even so discouraged in prayer that we are inclined to just make them a formality. We feel perhaps so little burden in our prayers. But here we have our prayers being carried up, being borne up by the intercession of Christ, by his incense, by this sweet savour of Christ, which rises up from him to the throne of God. Our prayers are merged with that incense, with his intercession. Now let's look at, thirdly, what difference will that merging make to our prayers? As they are, what are they like? Well, we only need to think about their source to know what they're like. And that is that they are quite simply tainted with sin. Tainted with corruption. And indeed that they are just the products, not of a pure heart, but the product of hearts which are, as it were, burdened and enslaved by self-interest. The great question for us is it possible for us to do anything that is not tainted in some way with self? Is it possible even for us to pray without our prayers being tainted with self? The answer is no. It is just quite impossible. And as they are, they can never be pleasing to God. I hope that you all accept that. All your prayers and all my prayers are tainted with sin, and that they are, as they are, unacceptable to God. They cannot rise up to his very presence. He would reject them as they are, because evil cannot dwell in his sight. That's our dilemma. But what happens when our prayers are mixed with the incense of Christ, with the savour of Christ? Now, we are so accustomed to pollution We take it for granted in our lives. If we have a glass of clean water and a drop of unclean water goes into it, we never think, oh, perhaps the clean water will purify the dirty and it'll all be clean. We just never think that way because it never happens in this life. That glass of water has to be thrown away because it is polluted. And that is always the way as we know it. But with Christ it is different. When someone touched a leper, what happened? The person who touched was polluted. The person who touched was unclean. But when Christ touched the leper was cleansed. The impure was made pure. There is with him a reversal of the principle which we take for granted. When he touched the body of the widow of Nain's son, when somebody touched a dead body, even came near a dead body in the Old Testament, that person was pronounced unclean. But when he came and touched the body, even death itself had to flee. Death had to go. Life came. And the widow of Nain's son was restored to life. It is the same thing with our prayers. Do we worry that our prayers are going to pollute the incense of Christ? Well, if we don't have that worry, we should have it. We should have the question, what happens when my stained prayers are mixed, are combined, are merged with his pure incense? Surely that incense is going to be tainted. Surely it is going to be polluted. No. That's the great thing. It is a reversal of the principle which we are just so surrounded with in this world. Instead of the pure being polluted and stained by the impure, it is reversed. The polluted and the stained and the impure and the sinful is cleansed. It is purified, it is made perfect by merging with his incense. What a wonderful picture is given to us. What encouragement, what motivation to prayer we have here. What a wonderful provision God has made when he gave this special gift to our risen Lord Jesus Christ, that he gave to him much incense, so that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the altar. Of course, when we speak about saints, we simply mean believers. We hope we're all clear about that. Saints are not special believers, as some believe. Saints are quite simply all believers. And so it is purged, it is cleansed, it is purified. It is made perfect by the merging with the incense of Christ. And so
it is received by the Father. Not just accepted, but because it is the savour of Christ, the incense of Christ, the Father doesn't just accept it. He is filled with delight. It is a sweet savour unto Him. Oh, what wonder there is in these words. Christ is always a sweet savour unto the Father. And I repeat this, not just as His eternal Son, but He is unto the Father a sweet savour as the enfleshed Son. Let's ask the question, thirdly, what believers' prayers will be in this merge? Says the prayers of all saints. All the prayers of all believers. That is, if they exist. I don't think it means prayers that don't exist. Prayers only exist if we pray. If we lose the habit of prayer, are our prayers still going to be included? Surely it is impossible if they don't exist. That's the question we have to ask ourselves. Do my prayers exist? Are they a reality? Is there something there that Christ can take and merge with His incense, which has originated with me? Or does He have nothing from me? That's the question. It is hard to maintain a prayer life. And I believe it is getting harder. The whole atmosphere in which we live seems to be so oppressive spiritually. The whole of life is geared so that there is every obstacle put in our way to prevent us from praying. If we fail in that battle, we are facing a situation of the greatest sadness. That there are no prayers from us for Christ to take and to merge with His own. I don't think we have any grounds whatsoever to think that Christ is going to merge prayers or bring them into being if they don't exist. And their existence begins with you and with me, with actually praying, with making your prayers a reality, with getting down to it. Prayer is hard. It's hard to get to it. Yes, I think that's perhaps the hardest bit of all. Just getting there. It's hard to begin. It's hard to keep going. Hard to maintain concentration. Hard to give ourselves to it from the heart. It is hard. It is hard to prevail. Why did Jesus say that men ought always to pray and not to faint? Why? Because fainting is a reality in prayer. To faint, to lose our earnestness, to lose our determination, to lose our strength. Jesus said this because fainting is a real possibility. We must not faint in prayer. We must get to war in this matter. To pray against all opposition. Whether that opposition is things good or things bad, it doesn't matter. There is nothing more important than prayer. Picture here is surely the best motivator that we could possibly wish for. To contribute constantly. To always have something there that he can take and merge with his own incense. This sweet savour. That must be our determination. Here is surely all the motivation we need to fight, to wrestle, to put every demotivator under our feet, to treat them with violence if necessary, in order that we might. If anybody had a demotivator for prayer, it was Daniel. 3 times a day he prayed normally. Then he's faced with the lion's den. Daniel is not demotivated. Even if the lions tore him apart, even if that was to happen, he would still have done it. He prayed 3 times a day. Are we going to be Daniels? To pray at least once, preferably many times, and to seek to have that constancy in prayer. To pray without ceasing. Fourthly, have I something I want you to pray for? Yes, I have. I have a burden. I am burdened and I wish to share my burden with you. To ask you to carry it with me. Now I am sure each of us has something personal that we pray for continually. It is unlikely that there is anyone who does not have something personal that they pray for and pray for frequently. Things which we utter in the secret place. But what about prayer for the Church of Christ in this world? And particularly for this little local church here. That is my burden. I fear stagnation. I fear that we are content with what we have. And I don't think that that is right. Yes, God has blessed us. We have enjoyed the richness of His favor. But I don't think the answer is contentment and stagnation. And I fear that that is our danger. My burden is for, first of all, the continuance of this church. And that means new blood. It means that these precious young families that we have, they grow up in the church, and that they are saved, and that they become a replenishment for the church. But also, we need replenishment from outside. Yes, we do. We need replenishment from out there. So far, all our efforts have been in vain. But there may be one thing which we have not put to the test, and that is prayer. And that is why what I am asking you to do, to pray for the continuance of the church, for the replenishment of the church from generation to generation. We can't stop the passage of time. One generation ages and passes on. Can't stop that. But do we not want this precious congregation that we have gathered here, do we not want it to be continued, propagated into generations to come? Oh, I hope we do. I want you to make sure that you always have a contribution to the incense, that precious incense, that sweet savour to God. When the way is open, when the provision is there, when the facility is given to us by God, make sure that there is always a contribution. Something to merge with His incense. For the replenishment of the church. we need replenishment. We need to see people being converted from within the church and from outside the church. There are these two sources. We need to see conversions. Do we long to see them? I'm asking you to pray. I'm asking you to pray specifically, to take this burden and ensure that there will always be a contribution from you which has on it something to do with the replenishment of this church and conversions, to see people be saved. I believe in the power of God, and I believe that this teaches us that God answers prayer. If we read the rest of this chapter, which we have looked at before, one thing stands out: that God will shake the earth to answer our prayers. That He will do all that is necessary, even if it means judgment first. It may do. Judgment in this life is a mercy if it brings us to repentance. I'm asking you, and I am seriously asking you, to pray for the replenishment of this church. Pray for conversions from within and from without. I'm asking you to take that burden, to keep before you this great motivation which we have in this chapter, to offer it with the prayers of all saints. Let us pray. Pour out upon us the spirit of prayer and of supplication, O God. Thou knowest how hard it is for us to pray. Thou knowest our neglect. Thou knowest our fainting. Lord, wilt thou so apply this word to our hearts by the power of thy Spirit, that we shall be men and women of prayer, that we shall be warriors in this matter. Go before us and keep us. Forgive our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.